Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. Vir die belangrikste sake nuus skakel in op RSG Geldsaake.
Die spanning tussen Suid-Afrika en die Verenigde State het die afgelope 2 weke wesentlik toegeneem nadat president Donald Trump 'n uitvoerende bevel uitgereik het wat finansiering na Suid-Afrika opgeskort het. Dit is finansiering vir sekere sosiale projekte. Nou die rede daarvoor was die skynbare onteiening van grond sonder vergoeding, die skending van Afrikaners se menseregte en ook Suid-Afrika se buitelandse beleid en ook buitelandse vriende waarvan Amerika nie hou nie. Nou die besluit het woede ontketen onder Suid-Afrikaanse politici en ontleeders, wat Trump se beweringe as misleidend en feitelik onakkuraat verwerp het. Die uitvoerende bevel het egter ook steun gekry van verskeie groepe, insluitende AfriForum en Solidariteit. Joel Pollack is 'n hoogs gerespekteerde joernalis, prokureur en radiogasheer in Amerika, en hy was die afgelope weke wat taamlik uitgesproke oor hierdie ontwikkelings, en sy sienings dra nogal gewig, want hy is naby aan president Trump en ook 'n sterk kandidaat om die volgende Amerikaanse ambassadeur in Suid-Afrika te word. Joel, thank you so much for your time. South Africa has been caught by surprise by President Trump's tweet and executive order, and there has been some divergent and significant reactions. What are your views on what happened and the way the South African government and other groups have responded?
Well, South Africans should not have been caught by surprise. There has been growing bipartisan criticism of the South African government's foreign policy positions, including among Democrats, not just among Republicans, in the United States, and particularly South Africa's indulgence toward Russia during the Russian war against Ukraine drew negative attention. So there has long been a frustration in the United States with the embrace by the South African government of all sorts of pariah regimes all around the world, whether it's Russia or the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. People are frustrated with the fact that South Africa wants the benefits of being part of the Western family of democratic nations, but continually sides with the enemies of democracy and Western civilization. So this has been coming for quite some time.
There is a perception that most of the aggression is aimed due to the foreign policy and not so much regarding local laws relating to expropriation of land and empowerment, especially related to the policies in the Middle East, where South Africa approached the ICC regarding the attacks on Gaza and Palestine. So what is your reaction to that?
Well, I definitely think that the South African case against Israel at the ICJ played an important role. If you look at the statement of Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he refers to that. And there are many other foreign policy positions, as I mentioned, that did play a role. But when you look at President Donald Trump's record, he has actually been interested in this issue of land expropriation for quite some time. He brought it up in his first administration. And I think it's a sticking point for many American investors, because it represents South Africa's failure to convince international investors that South Africa is a safe destination for foreign direct investment. And South Africa depends on foreign direct investment, and there are many investors who would like to come to South Africa, not just to take advantage of natural resources, but also to employ South Africans, to develop South African capacity and skills. However, they are required by BEE regulations to hand over equity in their companies. They struggle to deal with South African labor laws, which are very difficult for South African companies as well as foreign companies. And on top of that, they now have this Expropriation Act, which has been a simmering debate in South Africa for quite some time, really more than 2 decades, because it goes back to the era of Zimbabwe, when South Africa did not condemn the land seizures by Robert Mugabe, which did scare away some American investors. So I think Donald Trump is positioning himself here as the protector of America's economic interests, and American investors are certainly concerned about the Expropriation Act.
There will be several delegations visiting the U.S. soon, and I will get to those in a minute, but the most likely response from the SA government would be that the empowerment legislation aims to redress the legacy of apartheid, where black people are not part of the mainstream economy as they should be or should be in a constitutional democracy. And the response to the Expropriation Act would be that there has not been expropriation without compensation. In fact, there's been very, very limited expropriation of productive land. And these parties would also suggest that President Trump based his conclusions on incorrect information. How would you respond to that?
On the contrary, I think President Trump is basing his conclusions on the language of the statute, which allows for expropriation without compensation, and not just of land, of other kinds of property. I would suggest that South Africans in government who are concerned about the Trump administration's response spend a little less time wondering where he gets his information from and a little more time considering or reconsidering the legislation. And I think the best way, this is my own opinion, but the best way to address the legacy of apartheid is through economic growth, not through revisiting the past. You have to build a better future, not a better history. And the world may sympathize with what you've said about the need to redress the injustices of the past, but the world is not going to subsidize it. The world wants to invest in economies that are growing, that offer a return. And ultimately, that means the South African economy has to strengthen a commitment to property rights and find ways to expand wealth to those who were denied it previously without taking it away from those who have it.
I think that's an excellent point. And the way forward, you think, what would be the best course of action for the South African government, in your opinion?
I think the South African government should look at dismantling many of the laws that were not essential to the vision of the South African Constitution, but were enacted afterward. Some of the labor laws, some of the BEE legislation and rules, and the Expropriation Act. These are laws that hold back South Africa's economic growth and they discourage foreign investment. I think the conversation should start there. And then South Africa needs to take a different approach to foreign affairs. I think South Africa needs to stop doing military exercises with China, for example. It needs to stop siding with Palestinian terrorists in global forums. It needs to indicate to the Western world and the democratic world that it will be a champion for Western and democratic values and that it can be a leader in Africa. It's to everyone's benefit, including the United States, to have a strong South Africa, not just militarily strong, but economically strong fundamentally. And right now, South Africa is falling short. So making the changes in terms of foreign and domestic policy that the Trump administration would like to see, I think, would go a long way not only to improving relations with the United States, but also to encouraging economic growth in South Africa.
My first reaction would be that that's exactly what the government will not do, because that is, in many ways, the policies of the ruling party or the majority party. So what would happen if South Africa does not change its course?
Well, then I think there are many trade deals that currently exist that are in jeopardy. I think the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act is certainly in jeopardy, as is South Africa's membership of AGOA. The language of AGOA allows the United States to exclude countries that act in a way that's opposed to American interests on the world stage. So South Africa has already entered that category. And I think that the United States will be prepared to walk away from trade relations with South Africa if South Africa does not change its behavior. And I think the South African government has to ask itself, does it want to win or does it want to lose? I don't think South Africans will mind the method used to achieve economic growth, but clearly what is happening right now is not working. So better, I think, to be able to present the fruits of success to the South African people after changing policies and reaping the rewards. I think that would be a position any government would want to be in.
Three delegations will visit the USA soon to explain their positions. There will be a delegation from the government. There will be a delegation from the official opposition, the Democratic Alliance, and then AfriForum and Solidarity will also send a delegation. You know, and all three of them will offer divergent explanations. How do you think that will be received?
Well, I don't think this is a crisis that can be resolved with more meetings. I heard some of the government officials in the news saying that they're going to explain things to Trump and they want to make sure he understands. That's not going to work. I think the effort would be better spent on fixing the policy problems at home. But I think it can't hurt to have discussions and dialogues. Perhaps the South African delegations will learn more than they're able to teach. But I think that the fact that there are different delegations coming tells you something about what the actual problem is, which is that South Africans are not on the same page when it comes to economic policy and are not on the same page when it comes to issues of property and race and so forth. I think the effort could be best expended in arriving at a new consensus in South Africa and a united consensus, and then presenting that to the United States.
You've used the word crisis. Do you regard this as a crisis?
It's not for the United States, but it is something of a crisis in relations between South Africa and the United States, and certainly it seems to have struck South Africans that way.
Then there's also a narrative here that President Trump has been very aggressive in his negotiations with Canada and Mexico, but backed down a bit later, and there is a perception that he may do the same here. Do you think that is a likely outcome?
Well, he didn't back down. He got the changes he wanted. President Trump had been pressuring Canada, for example, to help the United States with controlling the unchecked flow of migrants across the border, not just the southern border, but the northern border, and also dealing with smuggling and drug smuggling, particularly of fentanyl, which is deadly and is causing tens of thousands of deaths in America every year. And for a long time, for some reason, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, resisted doing that. And it was only when Trump threatened tariffs that Trudeau finally said that he would implement the changes at the border. He would send 10,000 Canadian police or troops to the border to help with border enforcement. And after that, Trump said, okay, we'll suspend the implementation of these tariffs for a month to give you time to put all that in place. And if it's all there in a month's time, then we don't have to have the tariffs. I think the easiest way to move forward is for South Africa to make some concessions to what Trump is demanding, which frankly, I think are reasonable demands, and not just in America's interest, but also in South Africa's interest. Rather than offering explanations and so forth and denouncing Trump as misinformed, which really is the wrong thing to say, I think. I think South Africa should take a clue from what Trump is telling them and make the necessary changes.
Just lastly, is your hat in the ring to become the next U.S. ambassador in South Africa? And if so, when do you think the president would announce the new ambassador?
I don't know much about that. I know there's been lots of speculation. I'd be happy to serve if I'm asked to serve. I'm very busy here, of course, with my job as a journalist and helping clean up the mess after the fires here in California. So there's a lot going on here at the moment, but nothing new to report.
Ons sal daarmee los. Dit was Joel Pollack, die joernalis, prokureur en radiogasheer in Amerika, wat heel moontlik Suid-Afrika se volgende Amerikaanse ambassadeur gaan wees. Skalk, ja, Joel Pollack is ook in Suid-Afrika gebore, 1977, maar het kort daarna toe die land verlaat. Interessante sienings?
Baie. Ek dink paar raakpunte wat hy daar geslaan het, en of jy nou saamstem, of jy teen het is, Suid-Afrika op hierdie stadium met een van die grootste probleme, en dit is dat ons ekonomies nie groei nie. Ek luister verlede week vir president Ramaphosa, waar hy praat van groeikoerse wat gehoop om bereik te word met 3% vlakke. Ons staan rondom die 1% vlakke. Ek het vinnig gou op SARS ingegaan en gaan kyk na ons verhandelingsvennote, lande. Amerika, weet, op hierdie huidige oomblik, is in tweede en derde grootste verhandelingsvennoot, wat beteken meeste van ons goedere wat uitgaan gaan na Amerika toe. Ons kan nie bekostig om op hierdie stadium sit met sulke hoë werkloosheid. Ek dink is belangrik dat hierdie partye om 'n tafel gaan sit en soos Pollack sê, ek dink is tyd dat daar gesels word eerder hoe om 'n oplossing te kry eerder as om waar die probleme met die kommunikasie is.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoe elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Money Web Potgoe, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Money Web News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.